This is Kevin Burke from the Thumbs in Pockets chapter of the Andy Griffith Show Rerun Watchers Club. Welcome you to Burke on Mayberry. In this episode, we're going to look at The Big House. It aired on April 6, 1963. It was written by Harvey Bullock and Bob Sweeney. This episode's a little bit different in that it starts out differently. First of all, you see the back of a man who's speaking onto a radio. Then you see some fast police cars and sirens going off, which sort of gives you the impression there's some kind of chase going on. And that's one of the things a little bit different. The other thing you're going to see a little bit different about this episode, you get to see a lot more of the courthouse, even the roof of the courthouse and the back alley of the courthouse than you normally see in an Andy Griffith Show episode. Anyway, as the episode continues to open, it shows Gomer, Opie, and Barney sitting in the courthouse listening to the radio. And as they're listening to the radio, Andy comes in. And one of the things I'm going to selfishly point out here, notice in this scene that Andy stands with his thumbs in his pockets, and that's how the Andy Griffith Show Rerun Watchers Club chapter that I'm involved in and began got its name, Thumbs in Pockets. So the radio announcer mentions that they're going to take the two criminals that they've caught to the Mayberry Jail, so that's news to everyone there. And so Barney gets the idea, we want them to see this jail is like just like a big time pen, and basically saying he wants to take some of the frills out of the jails, and said he wants to give them one cot, one blanket, one cracked mirror, just like they get in the big time penitentiaries. And so Andy said, well, I guess we can wash the doily. So again, they begin talking about that, and Barney says he needs another deputy, and Andy immediately objects. But you know, once Barney gets his mind set on something, it's really difficult to get him to change his mind. So the next scene, we see Andy coming back into the courthouse, and he gets one of those looks on his face that he knows Barney's up to something, because Barney has a look on his face. And Barney introduces the number three man, the deputy, and out walks Gomer. Now again, one of the little contradictions that I find funny is Barney is so, always looks good, you know, well, shouldn't say always, but typically looks good in his uniform, and in walks Gomer, his tie, the back end of his tie is longer than the front end of his tie, his holster's crooked, and even his hair looks sort of sloppy, so I'm sort of surprised Barney let him get away with that. But Andy pulls Barney aside and says, Gomer? Gomer, a deputy? Barney says, I can convince he's good. And so Barney starts to call out commands like a drill sergeant, and Gomer complies, although he's a little slow on a couple of them. And so anyway, Barney wins this when he gets to be, let Gomer be a deputy. Well, in comes a lieutenant who brings in the prisoners. And as soon as they come in, Gomer's like, hey there, how are you? Of course, already fraternizing with the prisoners. And so then we go into one of the famous scenes where Barney starts to give the criminals a lecture. Notice the camera angle changes on the episode here from the inside, or at least the point of view of the prisoners would have from the jail. And Barney calls the jail the Rock, which is obviously hilarious. And then he says there's only two rules. One is to obey all rules, and number two is do not write on the walls, as it takes a lot of work to erase writing on the walls. The only two rules at the Rock. So again, as Andy's about to leave to go look for the other two criminals who are the partner of the two they just captured, he asked Barney and Gomer to stay away from the prisoners. Now, I can see Gomer, but think about this. This is Andy telling his prized deputy, Barney Fife, to stay away from the prisoners. But, of course, Andy knows Barney better than anybody. So after being gone for a while, Andy comes back in, and Barney wants to show him the mealtime formation. Basically, he gives several blasts on the whistles, and the criminals get up almost like an army unit and walk over to the other jail cell where they're going to be eating. And Andy is wondering at this time, where's Gomer? And Barney takes Andy outside and is very proud that Andy can't find where he is. And they look up, and there's Gomer on the roof. But unfortunately, you see his legs hanging over the bottom of his shoes, which indicates he's probably laying down asleep. And so they yell up to Gomer, and as he gets up, the gun drops off the roof. And that's the first of three times that he drops the gun in this particular episode. So Andy and Barney go to the roof and give Gomer a lecture and tell him to straighten up the roof. And then near the end, Gomer does something that you probably a little bit unusual, but probably not that unusual in other aspects. He's putting the gun in his mouth, and Andy says, take that gun out of your mouth. So again, while this is all going on, they come back down to the courthouse, and then the criminals are starting to talk about how the Barney's going to get them out of jail. They're cooperating with Barney because they want Barney to have confidence that they're going to cooperate, and then they're going to try to slip out. So we go back to the courthouse scene, and Andy and Barney are there, and Andy again goes out to leave to look for the criminals, and then the criminals begin talking out loud purposely so Barney can hear them about shakedown. They're basically saying that the big penitentiaries have a shakedown, and here they are in this jail in the sticks, and they haven't had a shakedown. You just can't expect a small-time jail like this to be performing shakedowns. So Barney, of course, just cannot let this go. So he basically yells shakedown, goes in, unlocks the cell, begins checking their cot, and forgets to watch the criminals, and they walk right out the front door. So as Barney realizes what's happened, he runs outside. He doesn't see him. He comes back in. He yells at Gomer, of course. Gomer drops the gun for the second time. Then Barney gets on the phone, and all of a sudden Andy comes in with the criminals and, of course, wants to know, how'd they get loose? And so Andy leaves again, and Barney's mad at the criminals and does what he normally does. He hangs the key outside and right between the two jail cells, and then he walks in the back to get some coffee. And the criminals do like Otis used to do, reach up, grab the key, and open the door, and they start to walk out again. And Barney's still in the back getting his coffee, and all of a sudden Andy comes back in with the criminals, and Barney comes back in and sees that Andy's caught the criminals again and spills his coffee. And I love this line. It's my favorite line of the episode. First of all, you have to realize here's the criminals have gotten out twice because of Barney. Andy comes back showing the patience of Job, as we'd like to say. And he looks at Barney and says, Barn, I can't catch the other two if I have to keep catching these two over again. I just think that's a great line. Then the next scene, we have two detectives coming from Memphis. And if you look closely, you'll recognize one of these detectives. It's George Kennedy, of course, a veteran actor. Kennedy won an Oscar in 1967 for his role in Cool Hand Luke. It's just a great movie. But again, he played in so many movies and so many shows, it's really hard to go down the list of them. But again, here he is appearing on the Andy Griffith Show, just like some other big-time actors have appeared on the Andy Griffith Show. You know, Jack Nicholson appears on an earlier Andy Griffith Show, and there are many others. So Andy decides to try to prevent any more of the criminals getting out. He wants to just send Barney to the roof. And so he does this, but he forgets to tell Barney about the detectives hiding in the alley. So I'm going to have to give Andy a little bit of the blame here, because if he had told Barney about the two detectives being here, what happens in the next scene wouldn't have happened. Of course, Andy Griffith's show wouldn't have been as funny on this particular episode. So we see the actual partners of the other two criminals drive up in a car, and they sit outside to case the jail, meaning they're going to watch it for a while. And Barney and Gomer are on the roof, and they're looking out, and Barney does is what I call a duck walk, where he goes from one side of the roof to the other so he wouldn't be spotted. And he looks down and he sees the criminals down in the alley. And so he tells Gomer to stay up top. He's going to go down and get the criminals. Well, who he actually sees are the two Memphis detectives, so he's mistaken them. So he goes down. Now, here's something I think is a little bit of a thing that Andy Griffith's show sort of overlooked. Of course, we could explain it. But we see the two detectives sitting behind some boxes out in the alley, and all of a sudden Barney's behind them. Now, how did he get there? Look behind the scene, you'll see a solid wall. So unless there's some kind of secret way to get back there, we really can't explain how Barney got back there. But again, we don't know every nook and cranny of the jail, so maybe Barney of the courthouse had some access back there. But looks like a little bit of a discrepancy there. But again, because it's the Andy Griffith Show and it's such a great show, we can overlook things like that. Well, Barney puts the detectives in jail, and as he's doing so, the two actual criminals actually come in, and they grab Barney's gun, put him in jail, and all the crooks begin to leave. And so they go out the front door, and Andy sees them leaving. He comes out. Gomer gets startled, again stands up, drops the gun, knocks Andy's gun out of his hand who he's holding the four criminals with. The criminals start to take off, but then Gomer accidentally knocks the basket of light bulbs over, and when they hit on the sidewalk from up above the roof, it sounds like a machine gun sound, so the criminals stop dead in their tracks because they think they're getting shot at with a machine gun. So again, well, I love how Andy handles this. Andy brings all four criminals back in, and in order to save Barney's reputation and his hurt feelings, he tells, way to go, Barney, that was a great scheme, and basically leads the detectives to believe that Barney had all this set up. He suckered them all in just so they could be caught. So again, Andy foregoing taking the credit for bringing the criminals in three times in this case, and doing what is necessary to save his good friend, his cousin, and his deputy, Barney Fife's feelings. Now, in the final scene, again, many times you won't see this on today's episodes because they've added commercials, Andy walks in and sees Barney showing Gomer how to draw a gun, and Barney asks Gomer to draw his gun to show Andy how he does it, and lo and behold, the gun slips out of Gomer's hand and goes into the bookcase and breaks the glass. So Barney's given Gomer a brief lecture about how to handle a gun, and when he does, he fires the gun in the courthouse, and we see the famous scene of Andy reaching his hand out and Barney having to give Andy his gun. Again, the deputy having to give his gun over to the sheriff. So again, excellent episode. So again, this episode had humor, had a little bit of drama to it as well, and a famous actor, so you can't go wrong with all of that. Now here's the trivia question for the day. This was a bit difficult, but if you watch the episode and know what you're looking for, you'll find it. On the radio announcement, they announced the police chief. What was the police chief's name that was given on the radio? Again, what is the police chief's name given on the radio? If you think you know the answer, don't hesitate to contact me, Burke@imayberry.com. That's B-U-R-K-E at the letter I, Mayberry.com. And send me your answer to the trivia question. I'll let you know whether you got it right or wrong. Or you can go to my website, BurkeOnMayberry.com, and there you'll find, by the name of the episode, The Big House, in parentheses, the answer to this episode's trivia questions. If you have any other questions or comments, don't hesitate to contact me again at Burke@imayberry.com. And as they would say in Mayberry, my best to you and yours, and thanks again for listening to Burke on Mayberry.